Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Really, how it all came about, it's a pretty remarkable story. It's a great story with a very, very long history or backstory that leads to it. And the interesting thing about this particular birthday is we're the ones that actually get the gift. We're the ones that get the present. The Old Testament lesson for today is probably a great place to start to tell that story. Where it falls, where Genesis chapter 11 in context to the history is it's the next biggest story that we read about in Genesis after the flood story. And it says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. It says, as the people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And the statement, you know, come let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we can make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we may be scattered over the face of the whole earth. You kind of stop there and you say, well, it's kind of like a whole kind of a show of kind of strength here. Because it says they want to make a name for themselves. And we see the reason for why they did what they did. They said, otherwise, we may be scattered over the face of the whole earth. It's another way of saying that they're afraid. They huddled together. They know that God wanted them to spread out, to migrate, to populate the earth. He wanted them to be scattered. And they said, no, we like it here. We want to build ourselves a place here. As a matter of fact, we want to even make a name for ourselves where it's safe. And even the way they built their tower speaks of permanence. It actually even recognized the fact that they used brick instead of stone and something else for mortar. And they rejected God's goals for them and substituted their own goals. It's interesting, it says, but the Lord came down and kind of checked it out, what they were doing. And how does God bring an end to their project and cause them to disperse? Because he wanted them to scatter. It says he confused their language, so they could no longer, in a sense, live together and work together. And they had to move away from their dream town. They had tried to take control of the situation and their lives. Fear. They didn't trust God. Some people have even hypothesized that with the building project, with this tower that supposedly, quote unquote, would reach up into the heavens, it was almost like an anti-flood tower. You know, he said it, but if he ever brings a flood like this on the earth again, at least we'll have some big high place that we can go up into and be saved. Now jump way into the future. Like a few thousand years. Because the confusion of tongues that resulted at Babel when the people tried to, in a sense, glorify themselves by building a great tower, it was reversed at Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit moved the people to do what? To glorify God. Not to do something to bring a name upon themselves, but to bring glory to God. To glorify God in languages that were understood by all who heard. So this name Pentecost, it's a Greek name for the important Jewish observance of the Feast of Harvest, or it's also called the Feast of Weeks. Pentecost, from that word penta, it means 50 or 50th. It was a feast that took place 50 days after the Passover Sabbath. And it was a time that God's people were to gather and remember and recognize the harvest. It was the second harvest. It was the Jewish, in a sense, thanksgiving of the Old Testament. Now you jump it, you go back a bit into Acts chapter 1. Jesus had died, he had risen, and we see in chapter 1 he's with his disciples. 40 days after his resurrection, we have his ascension, and before he takes off into heaven, he says, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. Wait there. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will be my witnesses in, but you wait there. And so they did. 10 days after his ascension is when Pentecost now is happening. And everyone is gathered to recognize that. They're all in one place. And it says when God gave the first Christians the gift of the Holy Spirit, they needed some way, in a sense, to recognize that the Holy Spirit was working through them. Some kind of gift, some kind of evidence of his presence. And so he gave them the ability to speak in languages that they had never learned. And what's interesting is that the gift was not for the benefit of the person who possessed it, but rather for others. The gift means that other people now can hear the gospel, believe in Jesus, and be saved. And that's exactly what happened in Jerusalem on that day. Because the foreigners were visiting, they had come to recognize that, it said, from all the kind of the surrounding areas of the world. And then suddenly a sound like a blowing of a mighty wind came and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And the Greek word for wind is pneuma, where we get the word pneumatic, you know, like air-driven machines. It also can mean breath. The Hebrew word is ruah. At creation, you read that story, and God breathed into man his own ruah, his breath, and man became a living spirit, a living ruah. So the breath of God is associated with his life-giving spirit. The people that day heard something that seemed like a violent wind. They saw something that looked like fire. And as people started gathering, they heard something. And they began to hear people who were Galileans speaking things about God, things about Christ in languages that they could understand. See, when God chose this gift for Pentecost Day, that meant the good news of Jesus was for all people. Because all these people started hearing this message in their own tongues, and it meant that this is a specific way that God is saying it's for everyone. There was now no confusion. People had something in common that day. And they were all able to hear about Jesus and what he had done for them through his life, death, and resurrection. The message was for all, the whole world. And so what an amazing harvest to celebrate. They came initially to recognize God blessing them through the harvest of food. God spins it to say, I've got an even better harvest that we can celebrate today. Because later in chapter 2, if you keep reading, it says that 3,000 people came to faith in Christ that day and were baptized. You see, what an amazing gift. And so going forward, people started spreading that news. Because he said, once you receive that, you will be then my witnesses in. And he started saying, as you will go out again. It was always God's purpose and plan that the message be scattered. You don't keep it to yourself. So for the birthday of the Christian church, God made sure we focus our attention on what matters to him and reaching out with the gospel to all the people so that they could know who Jesus is. That's what's on God's heart. That's where God's heart is. Other people hearing. So when you hear of people missionaries, like learning literally other languages so that they can go and share the gospel with other people. When you hear people translating the Bible for the first time in certain languages so people can hear the message, it's kind of almost like it's a continuation of that, that reversal that took place at Babel to bring people back together. People can hear the message. So to help us even more, the gospel lesson for today, and John helps unpack more about what this gift for us of the Holy Spirit's all about and what Christ has done and that gift he wants to impart. So in John chapter 14, "But the advocate," Jesus says, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." So Jesus is saying here that really the work or the job of the Holy Spirit is to take all the things that Jesus did and has done on our behalf and to teach you those things and to remind you of those things. I like the illustration that people use. It's like this Holy Spirit's ministry is like a floodlight to point the focus and the direction on something. So if you walk by a building at night and it's floodlit, you say, well, look at the beautiful building. The floodlight's job is not to have people say, well, what a cool floodlight that is. It's not that. It's to show you something. So the Holy Spirit will teach them or us deep life-changing truth. He's a teacher. So you can almost look at the lesson plan here. What are the objectives? Well, one of the objectives the Holy Spirit has as a teacher is to help them see the depth of their sin and their need for a Savior. And then also to show them and to teach them all that Jesus did for them. The point you want to drive home in your lesson plan is, you know, you're a sinner. And do you really truly understand what that means and what it means to count on Christ, to know Christ as your Savior? Oh, yeah, but the other thing I'm going to bring out in the lesson, too, is that you are also righteous in Christ. You've been adopted and you've been accepted into the very family of God. And the great outcome of that, when you've learned those things and applied those things, to help people see and know and experience the implications of that as it plays out in their life. Holy Spirit has a whole lesson plan all laid out as the teacher. See, right now through the work of the Holy Spirit, you can see Christ and know his presence and his love. The job of the advocate here, in a sense, is to argue in the court of your heart, to make the case about who you are in Christ, to show you who you are, what you really truly possess. And you have a job, and your job is to listen. How can you listen better? Well, if you're a believer, then the Holy Spirit will do his work as you use the very means or the means of grace that he's given you. And that's his scripture, that's the word, and reading it, and studying it, and hearing it, taking the sacrament. If you do not use, or you don't take advantage of the very things that he's given you to use, to learn these things and apply these things, you don't really have all the stuff that God wants to share with you. But if you take it in, it's amazing. Because you see where it all leads. Because Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. So in other words, bottom line is, without the Holy Spirit, you can't know Jesus. And you can't know his peace. Peace. Because of what we are now able to know and see. I know in my heart, in my soul, I'm at peace. I'm at peace with God because of what he's done for us. And that gives my soul, in a sense, or my spirit, a sense of peace, knowing that things are okay. Holy Spirit tells you that the Father loves you. You have an eternal life that's guaranteed for you. And him being in you is that deposit guaranteeing what's to come. In other words, Christ gives us true things to think about that will help overcome all the kind of the dark things that sometimes we come upon in life. And it's consistent because it's not based on the circumstances of what may be going on around us in life. So maybe right now the Holy Spirit's speaking to you in a special way. And really see, look at him, look at Christ. Isn't he beautiful? Look at what he's done for you. Put your faith in him. And if you put your faith and in the work of Jesus Christ, you can literally stand before the judgment seat of Christ, of God, just as if you had never sinned. God's all right with you. God sees you spotless, without blemish. God never wants us to believe that he's some way far off entity, but he comes to be with us intimately, to care for our spiritual needs, to be within us, around us, alongside of us. See, Jesus keyed into the Holy Spirit's function as teacher, to teach you all things that you need to know and bring you to your remembrance all the things that he said. And it's for us. For us, this comes in the teaching through God's inspired word. His peace, gift of peace, not based on feelings, rather on the objective truth of his accomplished redemption and his dependable promises. When we know and believe that we have been died for, that we are loved by the Creator himself, and we are walking in his ways, we are able to continually put his promise into play. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. You're at peace. I'm at peace with you, God says. So with all of this, we can say, so come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Just kindle in me, kindle in us, you know, the fire of your love. And just send me forth into your world to be the person you want me to be. And as the Holy Spirit shines a light on the work and merits of Christ, you can know God's love for you. He wants to teach you those things and remind you of those things so you can be at peace and know his power is for you and through you. So, yeah. Happy birthday, Christian Church. God gave us his Spirit to be a part of our life and alongside of us. As I said, the birthday gift, it's actually for us. So enjoy your birthday gift. But the gift, remember, is meant to be shared. So share that in and through your life and your words with the world around you as we celebrate God's amazing work of his grace and love to each and every one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for